Be still and know that I am God. On earth exalted high, and all the nations of the world my name will glorify. He is with us to strengthen and sustain. For Jacob's God, our strong defense and fortress will remain. Like a copy of God's word, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Holy Scripture, the God that is of the Bible, there is no other God besides Him. This is His Word. New Testament in its entirety is offered to you quite freely and without any cost or any obligation to you. You would like to have one, then do feel free, please, to come and ask for one. Gladly place one into your hands. Jesus, He says in the Bible, He says plainly and clearly that the sum of God's law, His commandments, that is that we should love God and that we should love our neighbor. And of course, that we have not done that, none of us, because we are born sinners, and of course we are born lawbreakers. And it's not long before we emerge from our mother's wombs when we begin to express and we begin to prove that fact by our lawless living, hating God and hating our neighbors. And that, of course, is the indictment that God has upon every single one of us, man, woman, and child born into this world. Born in sin, conceived in sin, and sinners by practice, lawless deeds, for which one day we will be brought to judgment. And it's for that reason, you see, that you need my gospel, that you need God's word, that you need His message of salvation, that is through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save lawbreakers, who came to save transgressors. Because that's what sin is, transgression of the law of God. Not so much the law of the state, that can be unrighteous in of itself. It's the royal law, it's God's law that you've broken, and God's forgiveness, of course, in the gospel, is what every man, woman, and child born into this world needs. The commandments of God, to love God and love your neighbor. Well, you'll find the world over, of course, that men and women do not love their neighbors, never mind God. But then I guess maybe that's because your neighbor is made in God's image. And so if you hate the one in whose image your neighbor is, and you hate God Himself, well then, you're not going to love your neighbor. But of course, as you look the world over, you see expressions of that hatred towards your fellow man, the violence, the killing, right down to the gossiping and the daily hatred, your work colleagues and family members. That hatred just comes spewing out of the hearts of all of us. But it's because, you see, the root, the seat of it is because, you see, we hate our Maker, we hate God. You see, we are conceived, we are born in this state of sin. Pardon, madam?
I am not afraid to die.
Are you not? No?
No.
You must love Jesus then.
Of course I do, but I don't...
Good. Good, 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 good.
Grandma like you do.
No? Well, you need to do. Well, you need to go tell others. If you love Jesus, you'll tell others, because others are afraid to die, madam. They're not like you. So like you say, friends, you know, it's the gospel, the good news of the gospel that saves men and women, rescues them from their hatred of God and their hatred of their fellow man, which is the sum and substance of law-breaking, of transgression, of sin. It's that we need saving from. And the commandment, the portion of God's law that I wish to bring before your attention here this morning, the Word of God. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. You're a Christian? Pardon? Have you read God's Word? Have you read the Bible? Have a read. Have a read. Jesus says you must be. Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, yeah, you have a read. Enjoy. And you too. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Have a good day. So like I say, friends, you know, it's the third commandment is what I want to bring to your attention here today, where God says is what thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He is your God. When it says thy God, you might say, retort, well, he's not my God. Well, he is actually, by dint of the fact that he made you. No, you were not hatched out in some primordial sludge. You're not a piece of chemical fizz. Evolution is not true. It's a lie. God's word is truth. And God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. So you are God's, and God is your God by dint of creation. He's not your father. He's not your redeemer. He's not your savior. Not yet. Not until that is, you've been born again, repented of your sin, and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is, and he bids you, as your creator, because he made you, because he gave you your life and being, he has every right to command you. There's some things that you need to know, and you need to know them before you die, before you go out of this world. One, God is your maker. Two, God is your lawgiver. And three, God is your judge. He is judging the very thoughts and intents of your hearts, even right this very moment. Friends, God would also be your Savior, your Redeemer. That is, should you repent and believe the gospel, the good news concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. These things, my friends, you need to know. You need to be informed, and the only place where you can get the information is not from churches, church leaders, from popes, or from mosques, synagogues, temples, or whatever. From the Word of God, and the Word of God alone. Thy Word is truth, Jesus says. The only place where you'll find the truth, that is about God, and of course about yourself, and God's plan of reconciliation, how that you, a lawbreaker, can be reconciled to God. So friends, make no mistake about it, God has every right to command you. He has every right to demand of you how you should conduct yourself in his world. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The misuse of God's name, even for that just simply once, dear friends, makes you worthy of hell, makes you worthy of eternal damnation, makes you worthy of eternal punishment. Just once, a misuse of God's name. You know, taking the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, taking the name of God himself, even the OMGs, you know, that I see you posting on your Facebook pages. And of course, well, the expletives that come out, you know, when you're surprised or excited or shocked, oh my God, the one that you claim doesn't exist, the one that you say, you know, the revelation of who is just a myth, is just a fairy tale, but out comes his name. When you're in distress, when you're in trouble, oh my God, the one that you say doesn't exist, he's the one whose name you call upon. That's surprising, is it not? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, the misuse of God's name. I don't suppose for a moment that you like your name being abused, that you would like your name to be trashed, that you would like your name to be misused or abused, taken in vain. Well, God doesn't like it either. You're just a human being. You're just a sinful human being, a wicked human being, a transgressor of God's law. And you, here's you, in your self-righteousness, if somebody abused or misused your name, you would be bent out of shape over it. You would be ready to destroy the person who did so. Well, God is a little bit above and beyond yourself. He is the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He is the triune God. And he says, thou shalt not take his name in vain, because when you do so, he also is bent out of shape, wrathful toward you, angry with you. The Bible says, God is love. Yes, it does, but he also says that he is angry with the wicked every day. Misusers of God's name, abusers of God's name, those who take the name of God in vain. God will hold you accountable for that. How many thousands, how many million times in your life have you done such? For that alone. For that alone you are lost, you are undone. For that alone you are bound for a lost eternity, and you need God's forgiveness. The one whose name that you've abused and misused, you need his forgiveness. And that forgiveness can only be obtained through Jesus Christ, his Son, who he sent into the world to die on a cross, rise again from the dead, to shed his precious blood that you might be washed, that you might be cleared of all your guilt of taking God's name in vain. So you see, my friends, there's not a man, there's not a woman, there's not a child born into this world that does not need the forgiveness of God. God sent his Son into the world to accomplish for you, in you, that which his law, his commandments, could never do. The commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. All of them broken, all of them trashed by every single one of us. And so therefore in need of forgiveness. But those commandments, you see, are not given to you in order to save you, in order to rectify you, but to point you to the Savior, to point you to the One, to teach you what kind of a lawbreaker it is that you are, and to show you your great, your desperate need of a Savior, One who is able to redeem you from your lawless deeds. Jesus, even, the only Savior of sinners, the only mediator between God and men. The misuse of any one of God's names, the misuse of any one of God's attributes. I hear blasphemers all the time telling me that God is almighty. I hear it all the time. And I tell them when I hear, you know, if I'm close by them and I hear it, I tell them, yes, you're right. God is almighty. But you've just blasphemed his name, because you were not attributing power and might to God. It was not said in faith and trust. It was not said out of a heart of love for God Almighty. But it was an expression of blasphemy. Yes, God is Almighty. Yes, Jesus Christ is Almighty. But you be very careful how you say it, how you use those words, because God will hold you to account for that too. God is love. That's an attribute of God. But how many times do you misuse? You're caught in sin. You're accused of sin. You're approved, you know, for your unfruitful works of darkness. You know, and what is it you say? Oh, God is love. Oh, God is love. Like, you know, God will forgive you. God will wink at it. God will brush it under the carpet. No, he won't. That's a misuse. That's taking God's name in vain. The misuse and the abuse of God's attributes, whether he be Almighty or a God of love. And then, of course, the commandment to it forbids perjury. I wonder how many in the city of Nottingham have been in a court of law and have been asked to swear on the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible that they don't agree with, that they don't believe, that speaks of the God who they say does not exist. And yet they go into a court of law and they're quite willing to swear on his book that they will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then they continue on to tell the most awful, dreadful lies, to commit perjury in a court of law. I mean, that's bad enough. I mean, that would, if you were found out, you know, perjuring in a court of law, well, then you could be in jail for that. But how much more when you perjure, you know, when you swear on God's name and on God's holy revelation, and continue on to lie through your teeth, how much more punishment do you think is reserved for blasphemers such as that? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It forbids cussing as well. The cursing and swearing, I mean, it was something that was always been, in my lifetime at least, you know, common to men folk, you know, to the male species. But now, as I walk about the town centre, I see pretty, beautiful looking females, and I think how beautiful they are. That is until they open their mouths and they hear the most vile words, conversation coming out of them, cussing one another, cussing God's name, cussing themselves. Such you see is forbidden under this, the third commandment of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Cussing another human being made in the image of God. For this too God will hold you accountable. You will give account on the day of judgment, even for every idle word you speak, let alone your perjury, your misuse of God's names, his attributes as well, murmuring, of course, against the decrees of God. Whatever happens, whatever falls out in this world, the Bible tells us it happens by divine permission. It's the providence of God. Everything and anything that happens to you that takes place in this world, whether the providence be good or evil in your sight, in your estimation, is brought about by God. You're under his sovereign sway and control, whether you believe or not. And when you murmur and complain about God's providences in your life, you see, you're abusing, you're misusing, you are indeed blaspheming God's name. The thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Perverting the word of God or any part of the word of God. Just as many of your world religions do. Buddhism, Confucianism, the Watchtower Society have so perverted the word of God that it's unrecognizable to a genuine, a bona fide Christian. Such, I tell you, it is a fearful thing to do. To pervert the word of God is to pervert the salvation of God, and of course is to damn the souls of men and women. I don't know how many followers the Watchtower Society has today, but they feed them with their perverted gospel. They feed them with their perverted Bibles. And I tell you, that's abuse. That's taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And God will hold them to account. I tell you, they will. Anyone who perverts the word of God, who twists the word of God, who dispenses it and uses it, twisting it and corrupting it and causing it and making it to say what it doesn't say. Your government, the state, with all its same-sex filth is guilty of the same. As is the Church of England on the same account. So you see, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I tell you, it's fearful, tremble at it, people. You do so in many, many ways, and many establishments and institutions in your land do so. Perverting the word of God, causing it and making it to say that which it doesn't say, any part of the word of God, any part of the Bible. You have your religions who tell you, well, you're not saved by faith alone. That's what the Bible says. That's the truth as it is in Jesus. By faith alone, apart from any works of yours or mine. But of course, you've got religions. You've even got false teachers within the church who will tell you, no, 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 it's not by faith alone. Roman Catholic Church will tell you this. Huh? Mohammed's bunch will tell you this. You know that, no, it's not by faith alone. Jesus alone. It's by works as well. You've got to be doing, you've got to do things in order to get the favor of God. The Bible says otherwise. Bible alone is the word of God. The Bible, Scripture alone, is the instruction manual that God has given to us. And it is complete, it is full, it lacks for nothing. Scripture alone. Jesus Christ alone, faith alone, friends, apart from any works of yours, and anybody who tells you different, religious or otherwise, I tell you, they're liars, they're blasphemers. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Profane jesting. Jesting about the things of God. God is not someone to be joked about, and yet I hear people who profess themselves to be Christians, and I hear them telling all manner of jokes, jesting about the things of God.
Yeah, mate,
friends,
mate, can I say something to you?
What do you want?
What is that, yeah? After you die, you will meet God.
Yeah.
It should be, you will meet God when you say to him, I give my life to you. Because obviously.
Have you done that? Have you done that?
Of course I have, man. Oh, listen.
What you got to worry about then?
Never, listen, this is what.
What you got to argue about then? What are you arguing about then?
Because, yeah, you can be doing a better job, man. That is not.
Really like I say, friends, you know, it's blasphemy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Any jesting, you know, any jesting. You know, the things of God, they're holy. God's name is holy. Everything about him is holy. You know, and you go into your churches here in Nottingham today, instead of solemnity, instead of the true worship of God, you hear all kind of jesting, rock and roll music, everything and anything goes. This is blasphemy. It's blasphemy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Profane jesting. maintaining false doctrines, false teaching that blinds the minds of men and women. False teaching about. You've got it again in your world religions. Every single one of them. There's no truth outside of the Bible, friends. There's no truth outside of Jesus Christ. There's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. There is no other God but Jesus Christ. The others are just figments of men's imaginations. There's no hope in the Pope. There is no salvation in Rome. There is no salvation in Mecca. There is no salvation in Buddha. There is no salvation in Confucius. There is no salvation in the Watchtower Society. There is no salvation in Mormonism. There is no salvation in any of it outside of the Word of God, the Bible, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son. There is not one iota of salvation. And to teach otherwise, and to teach other people otherwise, is to blaspheme God's name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You will be held accountable for it. On that day of judgment, you will suffer much and greatly, I tell you, if you are found to be an unforgiven blasphemer. If you are found to be someone who has used the word and the name and the attributes and the worship of God in vain, in that day it will be a fearful day for you, I tell you, if you're not forgiven. And do you see? I hope at least you begin to see why you need God's forgiveness. And that forgiveness can only be obtained through God's instruction manual. God so loved the world, a world of blasphemers, that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God, in the greatness and the vastness of His pure holy love, sent His Son Jesus Christ so that a great, immense, phenomenal cause, that you might be forgiven your blasphemous ways, that you might be washed and made clean, and that you might be fit to stand before God on that day of judgment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, reviling God's name. And I hear that plenty enough here in Nottingham all the time, you know. There wouldn't be a thought of God in your mind, in your heart. You know, if there wasn't a street preacher here talking about God, but soon as we come out, as soon as I begin to declare the word of God to you, I hear somebody, maybe a bunch of you, reviling God's name and spitting it out like it was a cuss word. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Reviling God's truth, and of course holding to such utter nonsense as evolution, or some kind of a false religion, works religion. That would be, would it not, to revile the truth of God? If you don't embrace the truth of God, receive the truth of God, convert by the truth of God, become a Christian reborn of the Spirit of God and the truth of God, well then you're a reviler of God's word. You hate the thing. You hate the truth. The very truth that would make you free, Jesus says. Reviling God's way. And God has only one way. And that's Jesus Christ, His Son, who declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. None other name under heaven, says God, whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior, and there is no other way back to God. But to revile God's way is to blaspheme. It's to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Profession of religion and hypocrisy. Of course, it's you. It's you, you know, who tell us, you know, that the church is full of hypocrites. Well, not altogether full. There are some sincere, genuine, reborn, repentant, believing Christians. But yes, there are hypocrites in the church. There are people who profess religion for all kinds of different reasons. In hypocrisy, not genuine. No idea what it means to be born again. They do not have the life of God in their souls. They do not have the love of God in their hearts. They're hypocrites. They're pretending to be something that they're not. Hypocrisy in religion is blasphemy. I shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You're going to profess religion, then you need to profess the true religion, the Bible, Christianity, the only spiritual religion. The rest of them are all of the flesh, they're all of man. Jesus says you must be born again. Life of God needs putting in your soul. The gift of repentance, turning from your sin and from your wicked ways. Forsaking your unrighteous thinking and returning unto the Lord that He might show mercy and grant you pardon, abundant pardon. Hypocrisy in religion, friends, is blasphemy. I shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. To pretend to be something you're not. That's hypocrisy. Oh yeah, there are Christians who fail. We don't claim to be perfect. You follow me around, you'll find faults in me. I don't deny that for a moment. But friends, that's not hypocrisy. Because somebody fails, because somebody has a fault, doesn't mean to say they're hypocrites. Hypocrisy is professing to be something you're not. You know, like evolutionists, they're hypocrites, you know. They claim to believe in evolution, survival of the fittest. But yet when, you know, men start murdering one another, a woman gets raped, you know. Oh, this is wrong, this is terrible. Pray tell me, where do you get a standard of ethics and morality from? From a doctrine, a teaching that tells you survival of the fittest is the game. But you see, you don't believe that. You don't honestly believe that. You're hypocrites. You say you believe in evolution, but you cling to your morality. There is no basis for morality in evolution. It's hypocrisy. But if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to pray, you're going to profess the gospel, you're going to profess Christianity, then do it genuinely. Seek God, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Get on your knees, cry out to Almighty God, and give Him no rest until He comes to you, until you know that you've been born again, until you know that your heart's been changed, until you know that you've been forgiven, and that you're on the pathway to heaven. Do the thing, but do it righteously. Do it according to God's word. Otherwise, you're guilty of blasphemy. I shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Being ashamed of the gospel. Being ashamed of the gospel. You claim, you say that you're a Christian. But yet, you hide your light under a bush. You know, you won't proclaim the gospel. You won't testify. You won't identify with Jesus Christ and His cross. Taking up your cross daily and following Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a cost. There's a cost. There's a cross to be borne. No denial about that. You got to count the cost. But pray tell me, what's to be ashamed of in the gospel? Oh, why would I be ashamed? What's to be ashamed of standing under God's heaven, under God's sunshine, and declaring God's truth, God's word, to a world that's perishing in its blasphemy and sin? What's to be ashamed of in that, I ask you? What ought you to be ashamed of? You ought to be ashamed of the filth and uncleanness, the sexual perversion that fills your nation and country today. You ought to be ashamed of the legislation that your government, that you've put in place, is enacting in the nation. You've got a nation that's broken, that's falling apart, that reeks the high heaven with sin and iniquity, with rebellion. None who answer to authority, whether it be the police, the courts, the government, or God Himself. That's what you ought to be ashamed of, your sin, your wickedness, the evil that pervades your hearts and minds and comes out by your mouth sometimes, out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, Jesus says. What's in a man? What's in a woman's heart? What comes out of their mouth, that's what's in their heart. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You cannot be a Christian and be ashamed of the gospel. You cannot be a Christian and not take up your cross. Oh yes, they might persecute you. They might even kill you. They might even break up your home. They might even put you in prison for preaching the gospel. That's not far away in this country today. But if you cannot take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple, Jesus says. Go on back, go on back. Don't even bother to even think about starting. If you cannot identify with me, declare me before men, take up your cross daily, you cannot be my disciple. Because to be ashamed of the gospel is blasphemy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That will make you damn worthy. That will make you worthy of hell, of everlasting flames. Blasphemy will. And of course, to bring shame on the gospel. As many do, they profess the religion, they profess the gospel, they profess to be followers of Christianity, but the way that they live is utterly disgraceful, shocking, shameful. They live their lives as if there was no God, practical atheists. They deny what they profess by the way that they live to bring shame on the gospel of God and of Jesus Christ is utter blasphemy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Friends, these commandments, every one of them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We have broken, you have broken every single one of those commandments. Because God says in His Word, you've broken one, you've broken them all. Because the unity of those commandments are love, and you break the law of love, you break them all. And these commandments were given to you not to inhibit your life, they were given to you to protect you. To protect you from lawlessness that abounds in your nation today. They were given to you as a schoolmaster to teach you what manner of a sinner it is that you are, and to point you away from yourself, your own heart, your own life, and to point you to the life of another, even Jesus. To point you to the Son of God, the only one who can save you from your blasphemy, the only one who can save you from your idolatry, the only one who can save you from your false religion, Jesus, the Son of God, who came into the world. I didn't come to condemn, He said. He doesn't have to condemn us. We're already condemned, self-condemned, every one of us. He does not have to condemn you. I did not come to condemn. He said, I came to save. And He still soul-saving men and women who surrender, who yield to Him. Men and women who come to Jesus Christ as He bids, as He commands them to. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Peace with God and the peace of God. Filling, flooding your heart and mind. The forgiveness of God, friend. This is the gospel. This is the sum of the matter. That there is forgiveness with God. That He may be feared, respected in His name, His attributes, everything about Him. And friends, there's no forgiveness outside of the gospel. There's no salvation outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no, an iota. There's no hope in the Pope.
Can you wait for a second?
Huh? All right, oh dear. Yeah. I'm just about done anyway. So like I say, friends, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness with God. There's a way back. Take that way today. Repent and believe the gospel is the command of the Lord Jesus. Today, friends, now is the accepted time, because here right before you, you have a living illustration. Yeah, you just don't know the moment when you will drop down yourself. Let it be a lesson to you. It could be you. You breathe your last, you meet God, you stand before the God you always knew existed. Be no surprises there. But friends, today there is grace, today there is salvation to be found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Come to Him before you breathe your last. While you have the time, the opportunity, now is the accepted time, says God. Now is the day of salvation. Enter in through the way. Jesus says, I am the way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. You like a copy of God's Word? It's offered to you freely, yours for the taking. Offered freely to you. Read and see that these things are so. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious, never-dying souls. Get right with God, friends, while you have the breath of life in you. Turn before you burn. Believe and be saved. Hiya, how you doing? You read that Bible yet?
Yeah, I've been looking up parts of it. Yeah, I've got loads of Bibles to
talk about. Yeah, you told me, yeah. You believe them?
Yeah, of course I do.
Well, you say of course I do, but that's not a natural conclusion, is it? I mean, there are many people who have Bibles,
yeah.
But don't believe them.
Wow.
Huh? There are many people in churches, you know, who have heard the gospel, who have had Bibles in their hands, who have read them, but they haven't repented of their sin. They haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's my question. Have you been born again? Jesus says you must be born again. What does that mean? Have you repented of your sin? What does that mean? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah?
Yeah? Okay, good. That's good. That's good. That's cool.